This week, I'm coming to you with a heart of gratitude. God has just shown himself so faithful. These past 3 weeks, there were some deadlines and some really big, big tasks that were on my docket, I guess you could say. And I wanted to share with you how the Lord has met with me and how I met with him. And the purpose of me sharing this is to just give you ideas of what your fellowship and time with God can look like and ways that you can glorify and praise him. My desire as the outcome of this podcast episode is that God will receive more glory and more praise and more recognition in your own life as I am vulnerable and share with you some of my private fellowship time in these busy weeks. And it doesn't really matter what your vocation is. We all have busy times. So you might not have a ministry that's public like I do, but you might have a ministry in your home with your family, or you may have a ministry that's within your church, or you have things at work that are important to you, and you are desperate for God's hand in it. So I do believe that what I'm going to talk about today can apply to whatever your personal scenario is. I'll talk to you in a minute. Welcome to the More Power Than You Think podcast. I'm Jennifer Scow. After receiving a bipolar diagnosis in 2013, God taught me that his solution to the messiness of life was not changed circumstances, but rather a transformation of the mind to Christ's perspective. More Power Than You Think refers to the power we have to be changed and transformed based solely on what we think and believe in our mind. Renewing the mind is so much more than overcoming thoughts of depression and anxiety. It is choosing thoughts that have the power to unify instead of divide, love instead of hate, surrender instead of resist. It is the key to loving God properly, getting through suffering without accusing God, and prevents regret, sin, shame, and guilt. Everything we do today begins with a thought in our mind and what we choose to do with it. On this podcast, we learn to renew the mind in every area of our lives so we can live, love, and be loved in the way Christ intended. I've had a very, very busy 3 weeks, and I recognize that in the work God's given me that without his hand in it, I feel like the work is meaningless and powerless. And I'm truly, when I say desperate for his hand, I really mean that. I'm desperate for the Lord to be the CEO of my ministry and desperate for myself to be spirit-filled, that I am displaying the fruits of the Spirit in the work that he has asked of me. I am desperate to lose my agenda and to gain his, to have the vision to even know the difference. I'm desperate to not limit him with my unbelief, but have faith that he can do anything. I'm desperate to continually surrender that this is his work and not mine. Desperate to remember that is what I mean. I want to remember and not forget that this is his work, not mine, and I need to stay under his leadership and not take over. I'm desperate that I personally remember that he deserves to be glorified and to not try to take his glory in the work that he equips me to do. And I'm fully aware that I need his pure, gentle wisdom and not my own wisdom. And so over these intense 3 weeks, there's been a lot of beautiful fellowship and a lot of renewing my mind while I'm working. So while I'm sitting at my desk doing the actual work, and then out and about as I'm, you know, doing all the other responsibilities that I have, we have been communing, and then at his feet in a purposely separated time for prayer in the chair in my office. And so I want to share with you some of the things that God has had me say to myself and some of the mindsets that I have adopted to help me really try the best I can to grab hold of God's attention, to let him know, Lord, I am yours. This life is yours. My life is yours. Your work is yours. It's not mine. And so I want to start off by you know, creating a picture of my office. My desk is in the middle of the room. And it's private, it's upstairs, so my husband has an office downstairs, and I took one of the children's bedrooms, since I'm an empty nester, and I turned it into an office. And I've created a really beautiful place in here with just paint and, you know, just tried to make it a really peaceful place. And then I found a $20 chair at the thrift store, but it's a really well-made piece of furniture. It's very, very beautiful. And it's in the corner of my office. And so I always try to begin my workday with a time of set apart prayer where I'm not multitasking while I'm praying. This is a set apart time. And in my course that I've made, one of the slides that I have in there is a picture of Jesus sitting down. He's like sitting on a rock or something. And then there's a woman who is at his feet. So at the chair in my office, I picture that slide. So while I'm sitting on the floor, I'm at the foot of that chair. And I imagine that it's Jesus sitting in that chair and that I am at his feet. And when I sit there, I say, "Here I am, Lord." And I just rest in that place for as long as it takes. We have this wonderful time of fellowship. Sometimes the devil will try to distract me and just say, "Well, you've got so much work to do. You need to hurry up and get this over with." But what God has had me say every time is, "Time is never wasted at your feet, Lord. That's the best place I can be when I have a lot of work to do." And so I just say that. I say that to him, "Time is never wasted at your feet, Lord." And then we just talk. And all those things that I was desperate for that I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, I tell him that. I tell him that that's what I want. And I say out loud, "Lord, this is your work, it's not mine. And Lord, I want your vision, not mine. And Lord, I want your wisdom, not mine." And I claim promises from Scripture, and it's a beautiful time of fellowship. So the first thing that I want to encourage you to say to the Lord is, "Time is never wasted at your feet." He will save you time in your busy, hectic life by letting him be in charge of it. And that leads me to the next thing that God has me say. And this is a quote by Pastor Scott Pauley. Many years ago, I was listening to his podcast, and that's probably where I heard this. He did come to our church once for an evangelistic meeting, so I could have heard it there, but it is his words, not mine. And he said, "God can do more in a moment than we can in a lifetime." And boy, he has proven that in my life over and over again. Have you ever gone before God and presented a task that has been taking you hours and hours and hours, and it's taking a long time, and you're fuzzy-brained, you don't have the clarity to get the job done, but then you bring that same job before the Lord, and all of a sudden that five-hour job is done in an hour, and you've got complete clarity, and he just puts everything in place. And I tell God that. I tell him, "Lord, you can do more in a moment than I can in a lifetime of work." And that's why I want him to be in charge. And then the next thing that often comes up in my prayer time when I'm at his feet in my chair, at the foot of the chair, I say this to God all the time. "God, you are the God of detail and the ultimate life planner." And I'm giving him those words of praise and acknowledgement of how amazing he is and how sovereign he is and how he sees the whole picture of every single plan that has to come together perfectly. He sees all of it. He doesn't just see my needs, but he sees how my life is going to affect you, right? Because we are not an island off to ourselves. We want God to orchestrate our day because our day affects the lives of other people, our children, our spouses, our employer or employees, our fellow church members, our interactions with the people at the grocery store and the gas station and the cell phone place when we get our new phone. And we want God to be the orchestrator of all those events because he's the one who knows how to make it beautiful. Where God has proven this to me and why I say this to him is because as I have read the Old Testament, when you get to those lists and the genealogies and all the instructions on how to build the temple and the clothing that the priests had to wear, well, they could be mundane, right? They could be mundane lists and we could get lost in them. So I purposely decided, okay, when I read these lists, I'm going to glorify God that He is a God of detail and He cares about making things beautiful and He cares about making things right. And He cares about lives being in order and according to His plan. And so I say to Him, and especially these last 3 weeks, God, You are the God of detail and the ultimate life planner. I would encourage you to try that out. I think He loves hearing that acknowledgement that yes, He is the ultimate life planner and the God of detail, and He can do more in a moment than we can in a lifetime, and time is never wasted at His feet. It's the best place to be. Then something happened. This happened just a couple days ago, so this was towards the end of the 3 weeks. And the culmination of all my work had to go into some software on my computer. And I spent, at least 4 days, 3 to 4 days, full 8 to 10 hour days, loading all of my work that I have been doing for the past 3 weeks into this software. But the other day, I thought I was erasing a template in this software that I realized, I don't like that template. But I actually erased all the work I had done the past 3 or 4 days, so 30 to 40 hours of work. And at first I was kind of numb and I didn't know what to think about it. I was telling myself, you know, God knows what He's doing. He allowed this. Everything's going to be all right. And then I went into kind of a freak out where I was like, have you ever heard that sometimes when people are so freaked out by something, they actually laugh? Well, that's kind of what I was doing. And then I started sobbing because I've just been working so hard and all of my work was gone. And the software said, when you delete this, you cannot get it back. And then about 5 minutes into this ordeal, maybe 10, probably more like 10, a peace came over me. And this is what God had me think in my mind. God has peace right now. So can I. I'm really grateful that He gave me that thought because God wasn't freaking out. God was at perfect peace, even knowing that all the work I had done had just been wasted. He knew what this meant. He knew that I would have to do all of it all over again and all of my deadlines would be a huge hardship on me. But He knew that. And He was at perfect peace. I mean, if you imagine God in your crisis, He's not in a crisis. So He had me say to myself, God has peace right now, so can I. And I chose in that moment to have peace. And then the help support from that software told me they were able to restore it. And I kind of felt like Job. I kind of felt like, I wonder if the devil was going to God and saying, God, okay, Jennifer's been coming to You faithfully with extra prayer and extra praise and extra glory, and You've been answering abundantly, but I bet that if You did this to her, she would freak out and she would give up and, you know, all the things. And so God said, okay. And so we had it all be erased and gone. And yes, it took me about 10 minutes to regain my composure, but then my decision was, God has peace about this, so can I. And then it all turned around. So who knows, right? That's just kind of a fun thing to think. But maybe that will help you. You know, God says, be not afraid of sudden fear. And that's exactly what was happening to me. Sudden fear came. My work was gone. And God tells us, don't be afraid of that. Don't be off-ended when that happens. He's still on the throne when that happens. It's going to be all right. That doesn't mean it's not going to hurt. Or that it's not going to be more work, but it's going to be all right, and peace is available. And so maybe encourage yourself with that phrase, God has peace right now, so can I. And the last thing that I wanted to share with you that has been such a blessing to me over these past 3 weeks is a phrase that I say to God, I see You. And it's my way of letting Him know that I recognize that He is answering my prayer. I'm letting him know that I see his good works and that I see his answer to my requests when I was at his feet at the chair, and that I see his unfailing provision. I'm saying, I see you as a way of glorifying and praising him, that I'm not missing the blessings that he's pouring on me. I think that's important. If we're going to go to God and ask and ask and ask, which we do have permission to do, and we're actually not right with God if we're having no prayer zones and not taking everything to him. But if we're going to take advantage of that beautiful promise of prayer and that position before the throne that Jesus paid for, then let's make sure that when he answers, that we are letting him know we see him. We see him answering. And so I say that phrase. I've said it so many times these last 3 weeks. I see you. I see what you did there, Lord. I see that blessing. Thank you. I see how you worked that out, Lord. I see how you gave me back time. For example, this upcoming conference, I was going to have to drive. That's a 16-hour drive. But my husband decided to buy me plane tickets. So God just gave me back time. I just got 2 more days back of being able to be at home working on the things that are on my schedule right now. I see him. I see that he did that for me. So in closing, I'll just recap. You could use these phrases in your own prayer time. Time is never wasted at your feet, Jesus. God can do more in a moment than we can in a lifetime. God is the God of detail and the ultimate life planner. God has peace right now. So can I. And then lastly, the phrase, I see you. And the song I'm going to end with today is Goodness of God. And the bridge of this song says, your goodness is running after me. There's lots of verses in scripture where we understand that God is pursuing us. And one scripture that comes to mind, and maybe the songwriter was thinking of this verse when they wrote that chorus, Psalm 23:6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And songs like the one that you're going to hear in a moment, The Goodness of God, with these God-centered lyrics, are also a public expression and recognition of worship and praise. Everything I've mentioned prior to this, private ways that you can exalt and praise him in your private fellowship. And then songs like these are times where, yes, it can still be private, but also this songwriter is using the song they wrote to publicly express recognition and worship and praise to God. Psalm 145, 5 through 7 says, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Psalm 66:2. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Nehemiah 12:42. And the singers sang loud. And you have to sing loud when you sing this song. So maybe sing along with me. I'll say this verse again. Nehemiah 12:42. And the singers sang loud with Jezreiah, their overseer. And then lastly, Psalm 98:4. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. So again, my purpose in sharing those private moments of fellowship that I've had over the last 3 weeks is that I hope it enriches your private fellowship with God, and that as a result, he hears more praise and more gratitude and more recognition in your life for the work and the blessings that he pours on us continually. Scripture says he daily loadeth us with benefits. So if you can't see them, look for them, because they are there. And when you see them, recognize him for it. I'll talk to you next week. Take care.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as my father. I've known you as my friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. 'Cause all my life you have been faithful. Oh yes, you have. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender. Of the goodness of God.